Use data and decision frameworks for families' best choices. From the moment your baby arrives, you're faced with endless choices about their care. Seeking advice can be overwhelming, as everyone has a different opinion. The internet often adds to the confusion, and experts don't always agree. The research-based information here shows what studies say about common parenting issues in the early years. Good research looks at the effects of one thing while keeping everything else the same. Randomized, controlled trials compare a group that gets a treatment to a group that doesn't. Observational studies look at differences between groups without controlling all factors. Case-control studies collect data on a specific group, like children who read early, to see what influences their behavior. These studies are generally less reliable than others. Anecdotal evidence is based on individual experiences, like saying, "My friend's 6 kids were breastfed and all went to Harvard." But as statisticians often point out, anecdote is not data. Prepare and plan for birth to traverse early days with the baby. Knowing what happens in the first days and weeks after having a baby is helpful. If you have a boy, you'll need to decide about circumcision at the hospital. This is simpler if your religion traditionally does it. Like any surgery, there's a small risk, but problems are rare. Research shows some health benefits, like lower chances of HIV, STIs, and urinary infections, but these benefits are small. In the end, it's up to you. Medical staff will keep an eye on your baby's weight and check for jaundice. It's common for babies to lose weight after birth. Weight checks help spot issues like dehydration. If your baby loses more weight than usual, your doctor might suggest adding bottle feeding to breastfeeding for a few days, which doesn't harm breastfeeding. Half of all newborns have jaundice because their livers are still developing. Serious issues are very rare, and jaundice usually gets better as the baby grows. What new moms need to know about recovery and baby care. While severe vaginal tears are rare, occurring in only 1% to 5% of vaginal deliveries, they do happen and can make even basic bodily functions painful during recovery. Having a C-section means recovering from a major surgery, which makes activities that involve using your stomach muscles, like getting dressed or bathing, difficult without assistance. Nurses often send newborns home in a snug swaddle, and using Velcro swaddles can simplify the process for parents. Swaddling is great for soothing babies and improving their sleep by reducing sudden movements. Despite some concerns, swaddling does not increase the risk of sudden infant death syndrome, SIDS. Remember, the safest sleep position for babies to reduce SIDS risk is on their back. Mothers can be affected by crying babies and hormone surges, but support is accessible. Newborns often cry a lot, especially in the evenings. While you might worry about colic, only 9% of babies show all symptoms, mainly excessive crying. Remember, it's not your fault, and your baby is fine. The crying usually decreases and stops by the time the baby is 3 months old. After childbirth, most women can go back to their usual exercise routines around 6 weeks later, but listen to your body. Exercise can help with postpartum depression, which is common along with anxiety. The hormonal changes affecting your mood will lessen in the weeks following delivery, but postpartum mental health issues can last for months. Seek help from your doctor and don't suffer alone. There's a common belief that you should wait 6 weeks after delivery to have sex, but this isn't based on research. If you have perineum tearing, wait until it's healed. Sex might be painful at first. If the pain continues well after childbirth, talk to your doctor. Many treatments, like physical therapy, are available. Myths and misinformation make breastfeeding decisions complex. Many people, including health experts and family, say that breastfeeding makes babies healthier and smarter, helps mothers lose weight, and acts as birth control. However, it's hard to find solid research supporting these claims. Often, mothers who breastfeed have more resources and education, which can lead to better outcomes for their babies, regardless of breastfeeding. There's no clear proof that breastfeeding directly causes these benefits. Some studies show breastfeeding might slightly reduce the chances of stomach infections and skin rashes in babies, but doesn't seem to lower the risk of other childhood illnesses. There's also no evidence that it has long-term effects on weight, asthma, or intelligence. Breastfeeding mothers do have a lower risk of breast cancer by 20% to 30%. But if you decide not to breastfeed, your baby can still be healthy. Sudden infant death syndrome, SIDS, and sleep training are emotionally charged topics for new parents. Sudden infant death syndrome, SIDS, is the main cause of death for infants in their first year, but its exact causes are still unknown. The American Academy of Pediatrics suggests four ways to lower the risk. 1. Babies should sleep on their backs. 2. Alone in their cribs. 3. In their parents' room. 4. Without any soft objects nearby. In the early 1990s, research found that babies sleeping on their stomachs or with blankets had a higher chance of SIDS. The advice for babies to sleep alone is debated since many parents like co-sleeping. However, there's a risk that a sleeping parent might accidentally suffocate the baby, especially if the parent has been smoking or drinking. It's particularly dangerous to fall asleep with your baby on a couch, as the risk of death is much higher than usual. Baby sleep training. The AAP recommends sharing a room with your baby for the first 6 to 12 months to reduce the risk of SIDS. However, this might be too cautious since the risk of SIDS decreases significantly after 4 months. Babies tend to sleep better and develop healthier sleep patterns when they have their own room. It's common for babies to wake up multiple times a night at 4, 6, and even 8 months. There are many books and experts offering different solutions for sleep training. Most methods, like the popular Ferber method, suggest a cry-it-out approach. This means letting your baby cry for a while and checking on them at set intervals until they learn to soothe themselves to sleep. Sleep training is beneficial for parents, too. Moms who are better rested experience less depression and stress. Some people argue that not responding to a baby's cries can be harmful. However, sleep-trained babies tend to be more secure and less fussy after learning to manage their behavior. For the best results, parents should stick to a consistent sleep training plan. Vaccinate without delay. There's a lot of talk about whether kids should get vaccinated, but the science is clear. Vaccines are safe and protect against diseases. Serious side effects, like allergic reactions, are very rare. Vaccines have stopped diseases like whooping cough, polio, and smallpox, saving millions of lives. The debate started in 1998 when Dr. Andrew Wakefield wrongly claimed vaccines cause autism. His research was proven wrong, and he lost his medical license. Still, some websites spread false information about vaccines. But all trustworthy medical groups say kids should get vaccinated based on lots of research and evidence. Deciding between staying home or returning to work is emotionally challenging in parenting. Most families need two incomes and don't have a choice about going back to work. If you do have a choice, think about what's best for your child. A little time off for parents is good. But kids in working families usually do just fine in the short and long term. Some parents want to be with their baby, while others feel happier working. Think about what's best for everyone in the family. Look at your budget honestly. Does childcare take up most of your salary? Decide if you'd be happier with more money or more time at home. If both you and your partner are going back to work, choose a childcare option like a daycare center, home daycare, a nanny, a family member's help, or a mix. Kids in daycare often have small long-term brain benefits and slightly worse short-term behavior. The better the care, the better the results. The most crucial thing is how caregivers interact with the kids. Centers should be safe and clean, with space to play, fun activities, and caring, skilled staff. Feeding guidelines for babies are clear and simple. Research by Gideon Lack showed that giving babies peanuts early can lower their chance of getting a peanut allergy. Most parents in the West follow the AAP's advice on when to give different foods. Start with rice or oatmeal cereal between 4 and 6 months. Then add a new fruit or vegetable every 3 days and meat a month later. Once babies can pick up food, try puff cereal or Cheerios and start moving away from pureed food. Introducing foods one by one lets you watch for allergies. Some common allergies are to milk, peanuts, eggs, soy, wheat, tree nuts, fish, and shellfish. Keep offering a variety of foods multiple times. Avoid using bribes or threats, and don't switch foods if your child doesn't like something at first. Focus on physical milestones and language development varies widely in normal development. New parents often focus on their baby's first milestones like rolling over, sitting, crawling, and walking. These milestones have a wide range that's considered normal. For instance, it's typical for a child to walk between 8 to 15 months. Pediatricians look for significant delays outside this range, which might indicate serious issues like cerebral palsy or other rare neurological diseases. It's also common for parents to worry if their child seems to get sick often. However, it's normal for preschool-age children to have 6 to 8 colds a year, so a constantly runny nose isn't unusual. When it comes to language, a child's first words are an important milestone. It's normal to compare your child's language skills with others and worry about any delays. 2-year-olds can have a vocabulary ranging from 75 to 550 words. Boys often develop language skills slower than girls. Remember, early talking doesn't predict future success, and late talkers usually catch up as they grow. Key points. 1. Research-backed guidance helps new parents maneuver through early child care and recovery after birth. 2. Understanding the risks and benefits of common practices, like circumcision and swaddling, empowers parental decisions. 3. Addressing newborn challenges, such as weight loss and jaundice, with informed strategies promotes health. 4. Recovery and care practices for new moms and crying babies support both physical and mental well-being. 5. Breastfeeding benefits and sleep training methods offer choices to enhance a baby's health and development. 6. Vaccinations are crucial for preventing serious childhood diseases, backed by extensive scientific evidence. 7. Making informed feeding and childcare decisions supports babies' allergy prevention, development, and family well-being.